Okay, here we are, hour number two. Lots ahead. This whole thing, the bioweapon vax, the bioweapon virus, is permeating everywhere, the whole planet. They have succeeded in doing what they wanted. I don't know what their timetable is. I'm looking at the end of 2025 to make some determination about the numbers and the projections that were supposed to be here by 2025. We'll find out. We'll see if Deagle is right. Remember, that goes way back to, was it 2003? I can't remember. It goes way back. It's over 20 years ago. Long time ago. Anyhow, we have a lot on the table here, so let's get busy. Are you there? This is the better half. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Well, one half of this thing has to be competent. At least we have you. The check's in the mail. All right. We have pushed the door open recently into a number of very important areas that are not getting suspiciously the amount of attention that they really should. And certainly Erica has been right there with this heme thing. And it's a big player. And if you've missed the programs, you can go back and they're right there in the archives. So we'd urge you to take a look and take a listen, share them. We've talked a lot about CJD, which is proliferating everywhere too. This prion, this final act of this horror may well be prions and heme. We'll put those together. And people are just, it's several layers deep, you see, and people aren't looking that deep. They're going to grab the top level and run with it. They just don't, that's just people. Nothing wrong with it. It's just what they don't go too deep. So anyway, we've done that. There are more things to discuss as well. Now we're going to play a video tonight, and pardon me, the video is from some Oklahoma, I think, based streaming program. And this woman was able to get five substantial speakers on this program, 5 minutes each, and she set it up so one of her county commissioners would be there on screen, and they would all be in their each 5 minute session addressing this county commissioner. Well, I don't like county commissioners or supervisors. They're little demigods. Ask them, they'll tell you, and they won't tell you, they'll lie. But this guy, if you want to watch the video, he is so rude and so condescendingly arrogant about his precious time and listening to these people giving him really state-of-the-art, cutting-edge information. It's an obscenity to watch this guy. There's another person in the room with him, out of camera range, and that person apparently is a journalist. Because at the end of the, at five of the presenters, he actually walked out on the presentation. He told the host, he says, "Well, we're going to have to continue this later. I've got to do an interview with a journalist here." And they had just put this whole thing together for this creep, and he acts arrogantly, rudely, condescendingly, and then just literally walked out, took himself out. "I've got to go. Sorry." You'll hear it. I'm going to play it. It's disgusting. And this is the nature of our political leadership. And you can't tell when you vote most of these people in. You don't know what kind of slobs they are. But this guy is a class A creep. He's wearing a black coat, a black shirt, and a white mafioso tie. Okay? Does that give you an idea? He's an actor. They're all actors. Anyway, these people do offer and present, you'll hear two of them, very good information. And this guy should count his lucky stars that somebody set this up and enabled him to hear from Peter McCullough, Sasha Latipova, Jancy Lindsay, et cetera. Richard Hirschman, and who's the other paramedic?
And our very outspoken paramedic, Harry Fisher.
Harry Fisher. So these are five very listenable, very well-informed, aware people, and this jerk was acting like his time was being impinged upon. Just really disgusting. Anyhow, all right, we'll get to that in a few minutes. So, anything on your desk you want to push out here first before we get into this? We'll do this
No,
tragedy,
I'll just
another
add that,
tragedy.
I had the same impression. I mean, these people each had, and these are very accomplished, distinguished people in this horror at this point. They're all very prominent in terms of their contributions in revealing what's actually going on and their knowledge of the topic. And I had the same impression that this guy really couldn't be bothered to hear what they had to say. And even before the final speaker finished, he cut him off and said, how much more do we have?
You'll see if you want to look at it. The video will be up under our names at some point. I'll give you the timestamp where you can watch him do his end of presentation insult. I don't know what else to call it, but I guess that's as good as any. Okay, for those of you who listen regularly, you'll know we do spend a lot of time on very unpleasant and unsavory and tragic stories. Why? Because this is what it's all about. This is what bioweapons do to people. And further than that, these people have no platform. And I can't even imagine that I would ever say anything good about social media. But thank goodness there is social media and these groups exist to help millions of people who have no one to talk to. They've been shut out by their family, their friends. They're just being ignored. It's incredible. And at least they have people they can commiserate with. And that's a good thing. So we've seen many of these stories. And they're all important because they will also give you a little glimpse at the panorama of the multitude of symptoms that this bioweapon will generate in your body. And it's really bad, as you know. So many different pathways to destroy life. It's crazy. Okay, what's up first here? We have a 38-year-old professional. I guess she was a professional. I think so. Anyway, she's been cast into this horrible pit of pain, anguish, suffering, and betrayal, too.
Indeed. I hadn't read this one before. She came into the group at some point last year, and she revealed all. She told her story of the beginnings of her injury and how the saga has played out, and it really is just gut-wrenchingly sad because this was somebody that was, in the prime of life, newly married, I presume, yeah, a professional of some sort, a gainfully employed young woman. And now, well, as we read it, you'll see how things have changed.
Right. Okay. Her name is published. We can use her first name, I guess. Whatever.
This is Stephanie.
Very good. Go ahead.
Hi there, everyone. I'm relatively new to this group, and I'm so glad it was recommended to me. I don't think I've posted here before, but I've honestly joined so many health-related groups in the last 8 months to try to figure things out, I cannot keep it straight. Apologies if I have. Anyway, thanks for having me. Buckle up for a story. Like I said, I am 8 months into being sick, and only 3 weeks ago, after too many tests to count, was it finally determined to all be caused by the last Pfizer shot. I don't know the lingo yet. I had it on 10/21 of 22, October 21st, 2022. 1 week after that, my symptoms started piling on one by one, and my life has been changed dramatically. My life story now sounds like either a really dramatic Lifetime movie, good or bad to be decided, or a really sad country song. Deep down, I know that was the cause of it all, but every doctor I saw said it's impossible. So I grabbed right on to that denial and ran with it until 3 weeks ago.
It's impossible. Every time I look at that, it's disgusting.
There really have been way too many symptoms to list, but it has totally and completely disabled me. I cannot walk at all, not without elbow crutches, and even with those, it's incredibly difficult. I know I should be motorized, but I just can't do it yet. And I take so many medications for all my autonomic dysfunction and pain, it's hard to keep track. They have to keep increasing my blood pressure medications because my small fiber neuropathy is so severe, and it just keeps getting worse. Without them, or even if I'm a little late taking a dose, I am quite literally near death. And all this fun and excitement at the ripe old age of 38. I really have not been ready to admit to myself that it was all the Pfizer vax. It didn't make sense to me because I've had others. I had the J&J in April of 2021, totally fine, and then Moderna, October 2021. But for some reason, this Pfizer was all my body could take. And now I'm forced to apply for disability, which I've already been denied once, so I'm in the appeal stage. 1 month in, I had to drop out of the radiology program I worked for 2 years to get into and had just started. There is absolutely no way I can work. I cannot walk. I cannot stand for more than 30 seconds without crutches. And I cannot sit for more than around 20 minutes any longer, and my face and legs go numb, and I have to lay down for an hour to regain feeling. Some meds have helped a little with this, but not much.
And here is where the really sad country song begins, or the nostalgic yet tragic montage in the movie. In January, my dog, Sunny, picture in the comments below, started to get really sick herself. She's only five, but turns out that she has severe inflammatory bowel disease. And by April, my husband and I knew we had to put her down. Sunday, April 2nd was the date we set, and we had an at-home euthanasia service.
You missed a sentence.
Whoops. Hold on. Oh, yes, I did. She's only five, but turns out she has severe inflammatory bowel disease. And by April, my husband and I knew we had to put her down. It was the hardest 4 months of my life, trying to keep myself alive and also my best friend. Sunday, April 2nd was the date we set to put her down. We had an at-home euthanasia service all set up, but they called that morning and said they had an emergency and couldn't make it. And that night, I thought, we should give her one last shot, chance, and take her off her hardcore meds that the veterinarian had put her on and see what happens. She had only gotten worse and worse over the last 4 months of vet care, and we are going to lose her anyway, so it's worth a shot. So with her specialist's approval, that is what we did. I am happy to say she has gotten better and better every day and is still here today and doing great because of that. Let me back up to go to that little point where they had an emergency and couldn't make the appointment to put the dog down. I mean, you always think about things like that. Maybe there was a little intervention there. One can hope.
I think so.
So
that's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. I'm so thankful to still have Sunny. But just when you think you've been through it all, this happened. And this part of the story has truly and completely taken me down in every way. My husband and I have been together for 7.5 years. We've known each other for 11 years. We were very close friends for 3 years before getting together. And we married last March of 2022. It was so magical, a destination wedding on our favorite island in Belize that we have gone to for the last 5 years. It's 4 acres in size, 10 miles offshore, 3 lodges to stay at, palm trees, sand, 2 bars, and sits right on a huge barrier reef. So the snorkeling and fishing are ridiculous. We invited 50 people, thinking maybe 8 would come. Well, 45 friends and family ended up making the trip, and we rented out the entire island, the whole thing, for a week. It was a blast, a total dream, and I'll never forget it. But after just 15 months of marriage, he left me a couple of weeks ago. He won't really say why, but I think it's fairly obvious. Things got hard. I'm very sick. I can't do anything at all. I can't travel. And he can't handle it and doesn't want this for the rest of his life. So my soul is crushed, absolutely gone, and I honestly don't think I will ever recover. Isn't that nice? You marry somebody, and you pledge your loyalty, honor, your heart, and you just, the woman gets sick, and you, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to get a newer model. What the hell?
You know, and I contrast that to what happened with Sean Vidiella. She was one of the healthcare workers that, you know, was injured very early on, and at the time she was dating a man, and she was a wreck. And rather than run, he married her.
Right. Well, so, as they say, it takes all kinds. I just said that, didn't I? You said it first, by 1/16th of a second. No. Like minds think alike. Go ahead, finish it up. There's more.
Okay, she continues. I suppose this is why I'm reaching out here at this point. I'm at my lowest low I've ever thought imaginable. I'm just barely hanging on, and not only have I lost the love of my life that I totally did not see coming, he left me when I can't even walk or take basic care of life things. When I truly needed him the most I ever have by a long shot. It is so absolutely devastating. I will be 39 on Monday, disabled, overweight from not being able to move, and soon to be living with my parents for the first time since I was 16. 8 months ago, this was not me. I was a very happy, physically active, and able woman, feeling awesome and chasing my dreams. But my life has crashed down entirely, and I really don't know how I'll make it. I started taking a medication called Mestinon 3 weeks ago in hopes that it would help me walk or get around better. And it has helped a tiny bit, but really not much overall. It's just a tiny bit easy with the crutches. I had high hopes for it to work, but so far nothing. So I'll say it. I'm feeling pretty hopeless about my future. I'll never give up because I just don't. But I feel like I'm in for it from here on out. And I'm worried I may never be my naturally happy self ever again. I'm not even sure what questions I want to ask. I'm mostly just trying to see if there are others out there like me. Maybe some kind of advice on making it through all of this, dealing with the loss of your old self and the loss of a spouse and best friend for over a decade. I've already dealt a whole lot with the healthcare system, and I really don't wish that torture on anyone. But as weird as it is to know the cause of my heart issues and severe autonomic and sensory small fiber neuropathy, etc., I suppose it's good to fully accept it and be able to possibly get direct treatments. Do those exist? Thanks for reading my story. It took a lot for me to write this and put it all out there. It makes it all so much more real. I just never thought this would be my life, and I'm pretty scared as to how long I'll be this sick. Again, thank you for hearing me, and I look forward to delving more into this community.
And that's the best part of social media, giving support to people who have been just left in the lurch. Sickening.
Yeah, you know, if they didn't have these groups, as you said, you know, I think we'd be seeing a lot more suicide,
we would.
Frankly.
Well, those home euthanasia visits would be... probably now offered to people. That's what.
So
what
she did get quite a bit of, you know, support. You know, there were a good number of people who
a lot of replies.
Replied and, you know, encouraging her to not give up. And then, you know, it does get better if you, you know, stick with it, give the medications a chance to work, and just know you're not alone. And there's a second one here that maybe we should read just to show the absurdity of what some of these people have to go through. And, you know, the insults and frustrations.
Uh-huh. What's that?
It's the next one. You want to read it, or should I?
I don't think I have it.
Oh.
No, you go ahead. I don't have
okay.
it. I just have this one.
Several months later, this was late of last year, she posts this comment. Has anyone else tried spiritual-type therapy alternatives and had them tell you that somehow you created this entire reality for yourself? That you're also maybe subconsciously keeping yourself sick? And that you also have the power to heal yourself if you just choose to?
Oh, please. Yeah.
I was just told this today, and at first it broke me. I thought, how is that possible after over a year of constantly fighting every day with doctors to only dead ends, getting sicker and sicker, endlessly researching and trying anything and everything to get better after the jab I got last year? How could it be possible that I created this for myself? I have never lived my life that out of alignment, hardly at all. I've been true to myself, honest, working on myself since I was 18, and yet somehow I'm apparently that powerful that after years of a healthy and vibrant life, I somehow created the environment for my body to get this debilitating chronically ill. And also, I somehow control how every doctor in person chooses to interact with me? I feel better about it now, but I was upset for an hour afterwards. But what the hell? Has anyone else gone through this?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, take what's that expression we kicked around? It takes all kinds, right?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go ahead now to our, if you look under our names and guests, if it's not there, reload the page. And you can look at this video later on if you want to. But this guy, his name is Brian M-A-U-G-H-A-N, Maughan, I'm going to guess, or Maughan, who knows. Notice the black coat, the black shirt, and the white tie. And he's sitting there. And if you watch any of this, is he paying attention? Is he even sitting stable and looking at the camera, allegedly listening to these people? No, he's shuffling papers. He's looking up at someone else multiple times. He's not engaged. Part of the time, maybe, but I think it's an act. And I'm only pointing this guy out because he represents the whole idea of arrogant condescension in politics in this country. These people
really
think they're something else. Yeah, they think they're real special. Now, and this the host's name is Mick Meow, M-E-O-W, Mick, it's a lady. And she put this together. And again, these are players. They're named people. So we'll play Dr. Jancy Lindsay, who we have a lot of respect for. We've featured her before. So we're going to play that. And then we'll come back and talk, then play another section.
Jancy
well.
Lindsay, I don't think anybody articulates the science of this better than she does, you know, in a very concise and understandable well, for most people, manner, you know, she's just
right.
Exceptional at that.
Well, except for you.
Well,
why do you think I hired you? Come on.
Hired me, right?
You're superb. And it takes one to know one. And Eric is right. Jancy Lindsay is a very excellent communicator. Okay, That's what we're talking about here. She's good. Go ahead, and I'll play it when you're done.
No, you go. And you know, Peter McCullough, for his own right, did quite good too. Although he's rattled off this spiel now probably no less than 2,000 times, so he's
he could do it asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, here's Dr. Jancy. That's J-A-N-C-I. Lindsay.
They are gene therapies. They've always been gene therapies. They are classified as gene therapies in their SEC filings.
I'm going to play that over just to make sure you all get it.
In the, with
she's talking about the shots, They are gene therapies. I wish they didn't use the word therapy, because therapy, it's got a positive connotation to it. Therapy, that's good. Get well, get better. No, they should be called gene interventions or something, but they're called gene therapies. All right, let's see if I backed it up far enough. I think I did.
To keep them safe and understand pathways when there is litigation that has to do with their with their products. People were deceived about these gene therapy shots. They are gene therapies. They've always been gene therapies. They are classified as gene therapies in their SEC filings. In the past, gene therapies were known to cause latent cancers, mostly leukemias and lymphomas, 2 to 4 years after their use. This is caused by a process called insertional mutagenesis, where the DNA from the gene therapy inserts itself into the genome and causes a frameshift mutation or sits in front of an oncogene. This was well known. It was always something that you had to warn people about with respect to their receiving these gene therapies, as well as the risk for it to be passed on to progeny. In fact, people were initially sterilized before they received gene therapy so that they would not pass these on inadvertently to their progeny and contaminate the gene pool. In the years later, they were required to use barrier contraception for their entire life if they received gene therapies. And these were ruled out without any such an issue.
Very, very important what she just said. In the past, when they were even testing and experimenting and running trials with these things, they had to sterilize so people couldn't pass this stuff along to get it in the gene pool, because it was that dangerous. Nobody knows what these things can do. Every injection, every needle with these bioweapons in them will put into the system, the body of the injectee, between 200 billion and 400 billion pieces of DNA. And they are not contaminants. From the beginning, I and my ignorance have realized that they're there intentionally. We don't know what they're going to do, and they will integrate into your genetic material. And you can pass them along.
Yeah, those are all possibilities.
The problem with these mRNA shots is that they're not mRNA shots. They are one-third DNA shots, DNA plasmid shots, that contain the machinery to basically transfect your cells. Now, we were told that they were only, that the DNA plasmids that contaminate them were only present in small amounts. That's not true. In the Pfizer shot, up to 35% of the shot is actually plasmid DNA. We were told they were just there to replicate the material in the bacteria to make lots of it. In that case, they should have only had bacterial compatible pieces that just made those copies, but instead they added a human promoter. They added a human nuclear targeting sequences. Bacteria don't have nuclei, so there's no reason for them to have human compatible parts. So they actually added human compatible parts to these DNA plasmids, which not only allow them to infect and replicate within your cells, which they have recently been shown to do in the past couple of weeks, but they can also infect the E. coli in your gut and replicate and cause millions of copies of the spike protein in your gut should they be intact. They've also been shown to cause off-target proteins. What does that mean? They were supposed to just make the spike protein, but instead they're making lots of other small pieces of peptides and proteins that are not the spike protein. So gobbledygook, basically, which your body does not recognize and will attack. So your body will attack the spike protein because it's a viral sequence being foreign, displayed on your cells. It will also attack all these other peptides and nonsense proteins that are being produced. We're seeing explosion in cancers. I believe this is absolutely due, as do others, to insertional mutagenesis from the DNA contamination, or rather adulteration, of these shots. Sasha Latipova is going to tell you how this is legal under the current regulatory framework and how it was actually added to the current regulatory framework right before these shots rolled out to basically give a free pass to adulterated shots. SV40 viral sequences are what is contaminating these shots. The SV40 virus is an oncovirus that contaminated the polio shots and that we know was responsible for millions of deaths in the decades afterwards. I often used SV40 as an alternative causation in the cases that I looked at in terms of mesothelioma. So I've really got out basically what I wanted to say, which are these shots are contaminated, they're adulterated. The FDA and other regulatory agencies around the world are not responding to this. It's outrageous. And well, they are responding. They're all responding in a lockstep manner to say it's not a big deal when all of us molecular biologists know it's a huge deal. So something is going on and we need you to get to the bottom of it. Thank you for letting me speak.
And if you have a pen and paper, write down 9:55, as in 9:55 in this video. And if you go back and look at it, look at the guy that they're doing this for. He's in the bottom center of the six frames on the screen. Brian Mon or Mohan. He's at 9:55, he starts shuffling papers, looking completely away, looking up over and over again at another person in the room, writing notes, pushing them this way and that, paying virtually no attention, not focused on it at all. And just watch him until 11:40 when I kind of stop this monitoring of him. But it's disgusting. This is all put together for him. And he's obviously involved with that other journalist in the room. And at one point, he looks at him and kind of smirks, like, oh, I've got to get through this. I don't like politicians. Sorry. I know there are some out there that are competent and reasonable people, but this woman set this up for this slob. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you almost get the sense that he's just humoring these people.
Oh,
yeah,
doing.
I got to listen to these anti-vaxxers now, and I'll be done with them in just a minute.
That's exactly right.
Seriously?
No joke. You can look at 9:55 and just watch it for 2 minutes and see. He finally turns back to the camera, and he couldn't look more bored. Anyway,
I know.
Whatever. All right, let me go to Harry here. Okay. There we go. All right, this is Harry Fisher, and he's a paramedic, and he's got quite a background, and he is appalled at what's going on.
And I would have never thought that anything bad could have happened to this kind of, at this kind of scale. I've seen young strokes, young heart attacks. And what initially got my bells ringing was I was working on an ambulance in a major metropolitan area, and I got a call to, I call them shot lines. Whenever they first started doing these vaccine rollouts, they had these huge lines of people going, you know, whenever their age groups or whatever, they would go to these lines and get their shots. And I got a call, and someone had died. And I worked the patient and inevitably couldn't save the patient. But the nurse, one of the nurses that were given the shots, came over and drastically said, this is the second one in 2 weeks. And I'll never not hear that. Second one in 2 weeks. And the TV was telling us it was safe. All of my training, you know, all of my thought process was trust the science, just because we were being told that. And they were giving all this stuff to my friends and family, and they were saying that this shot was going to be safe. And yet I had blood on my hands trying to save people that this obviously isn't safe. It's not safe. And after that, I started running young strokes that I just didn't see in my line of work often at all. I mean, if ever. I started seeing aortic dissections that used to be super rare. Things that were rare were becoming not only real, but just prominent. It's been hard to get up and go to work knowing I'm going to see kids dying. I'm going to see, and in my field, we expect that happens. we don't expect it on such scale. And we certainly don't expect to be dismissed when we say, hey, I've been asking my patients if they've taken any of these vaccines, and I'm finding that the patients, these young patients that I normally didn't see die or having strokes, had just had their vaccine within the week or within the last 2 weeks.
How many stories have we presented of young people? We're talking about 10, 12, 14, 18 teenagers with colorectal cancer, heart attacks. See, there have been some CJD cases. Well, wasn't one like a 10? I think it was like about
18.
A 10-year-old kid. Well, there was a young kid who had something. No, he had something else then. But there was a young kid who had something he shouldn't have.
Oh, amyloidosis. Anyhow, yeah, amyloidosis.
That's it. Okay. So here, now, this guy, the supervisor or commissioner, actually was sitting there with his, you know how when you sit and listen to somebody and you put your hand on your jaw and you lean under your hand like you're bored, and that's what he was doing. He couldn't even sit up and listen. He was resting his head on his hand. All right, here we go.
It floors me because, one, this is still being allowed to happen. And two, a lot of people don't know what's harming them. The last young stroke, this young girl was playing kickball at school. And I went and tried to help her. The mom showed up. The dad showed up because it was, you know, this was a small town. I get there on my ambulance. And the patient's having a full-on stroke. And I ask, do they take any medications? Are they healthy? And they're like, yes, very healthy. Healthy. They're healthy. They don't take any medications at all. Sorry, one second. I've got an autistic kiddo, and he's hollering for me, so I'm sorry. He's okay. Something was on TV. But I get there, and she's having a stroke. And the parents just can't believe it, and I don't see it often. And they say, no, super healthy, not taking any medications. And I ask, did they have any of these shots? Well, yeah, just had their shot. But that can't be it. Most of the general public don't even correlate the two, that the shots are even dangerous. They don't know. And I don't believe that a lot of our medical practitioners are aware that they're super dangerous, even though it's been years of us seeing all of this bad occur. And I'm praying, my prayer is that we stop these shots, because it's heartbreaking to not only see young death, but also know that the cause is right there in front of us, and yet I can't stop it. I can educate, and I do educate. Every time I go to a job now, I'll educate my patients. Hey, these can cause stroke. These can cause death. And I'll try to educate. But this is genocide on a level that I never would have thought. My grandpa fought in World War II, and he would tell me stories. And it feels like that every time I go to work. It feels like people are being walked into a bad camp, and they're not going to come out. And I don't want to see it anymore. I pray that you go ahead.
I was just going to ask, how many more presentations are there?
I just have.
Did you hear that? That's the fabled county commissioner interrupting Harry Fisher, the paramedic. How many more presentations are there going to be?
Yeah, the epitome of rudeness.
Here, let's follow this on a little bit.
My presentation, and then we'll be done.
Okay, I'll ring off with this. Thank you for being here, and I truly appreciate your ear, and I hope that these stories of ours actually make an impact, because right now our people are being harmed.
God bless you. Thank you for your time. Since you're I call you back. I'm a reporter in here that needs an interview for me. Is it possible that just I can sync back up and finish this up since the others are done?
I'm sorry, say that again. You broke out. You need to go and come back.
I've got a reporter here who needs to do a TV interview with me. And so I was going to see, since you're the only one left, can I just call you back and you and I finish this up?
I don't want to hear any more. That is just despicable. Just disgusting. No, that's rude. These people are actually there giving their best and thinking that this guy, I don't know if they really think he's going to do anything, but they at least would expect him to listen intently, which he didn't do.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so there we go.
I don't have the impression that, you know, anything's going to come of this. It didn't.
No. He wants to get on local TV. That's his priority, so he can get reelected. He wants his face on the local TV. These people are so shallow. I dealt with them for years when I was a television news journalist, and it's the same old stuff. They didn't used to be this bad, though. This guy is really rude. All right. Well, I hope that was informative and helpful. To give you an idea, there are people out there trying to spread truth and reality, like this Harry Fisher, the paramedic, and having to attend to a little girl who's having a massive stroke right there on the ground after she's been playing soccer. This happens all the time, dear friends, in your country as well as ours. It's worldwide. People are being stricken and taken down, and many of them out. And there's no talk about it to speak of. Very little. Wow.
That's right.
Okay, let's jump over to our reader file here for the week.
Oh, did you want to mention, I don't know if people have probably heard, Kate Middleton?
Oh, yes. I mentioned it earlier tonight.
Okay.
But go ahead. Yeah, this is a big story.
Well, she did put out about a two-minute video announcing that she is being treated for cancer. She didn't say what kind of cancer. But that's why she has been missing in action for the last, what, 2 months?
It's up in headlines. It's only 2 minutes long. I'd urge you to take a look at it because it brings the royals down to a human level. I mean, this is a very elegant statement that she made, and she did it in one take. There were no edits in there. So this bioweapon takes no prisoners. If you get shot up, if that's what happened to her, and I can't tell you with any certainty that she did take the shots, but she allegedly did. They were all doing their part, remember? So at any rate, Prince Charles and now Kate both have very serious cancers.
Yeah.
We will see. All right. Thanks for mentioning that. But it is up there in headlines. You can see it if you'd like. I'm sure it's being played all over the place. Kate Middleton. All right. We have post-vax. We have delayed effects of vax dental. How are the vax dental issues?
Well, this is, we could read that.
Is that relevant to most people, or is it just a very unusual circumstance kind of a story?
Oh, no, this is quite common.
All right, let's do that then. Okay. Is anyone having tooth decay? Now, remember, this is in a social media platform, and these people are reaching out for help because they've been injected. Most
now,
of them.
This is,
some
don't forget
have been
to
shed
mention,
upon. Yeah.
No, this is all vax-injured.
They're
this
already
one
certified
J&J,
as being shot up and injured
3 years ago.
Right. Okay. Is anyone having tooth decay issues? Big change in teeth within a year. That too? If so, can you explain the reason behind this? All right, here come the responses. There's an article someone posted. You can search for it. My crowns on my teeth are coming off. I've never had more cavities in my life. And a response to that, I'm so sorry this is happening. I wish I could find some help. And I know you do too. And someone says, me too. In the last 6 months, I've had cavities under 3 crowns. That's not that common. You get to get a cavity under a crown, 3 of them too. My vaccinations were in August and September of 2021. Never, ever had this before. also developed nerve pain in my face, felt like in all my teeth, too. Doctor said, maybe a virus, but she wasn't sure. And another one says, my teeth have started hurting real bad. I had the J vaccine 3 years ago. It was 3 years after Johnson & Johnson. I have so many issues with my teeth and other things. Other what's? Yeah, things. T-B-I-N-G-S, things. Okay. And there's a response. I'm so sorry. I, too, have other issues, but no one will say what has caused them. And finally, yes, I think for me, the tooth decay is caused by dry mouth, which is caused by dysautonomia, which is caused by the nerve damage, and MCAS, which are caused by the shot. All right.
It continues. Many, many people, as you can see, are having this issue. Another one says, I never had cavities before in my life. In 1 year after my injury, I had three. I get regular cleanings and x-rays, and they just popped up for the first time in my life.
Yeah, and, go ahead, take half the next batch. Yeah, there's more.
Okay. I had one Pfizer, and yes, now I am having lots of enamel issues on my teeth. I can see big ruts like potholes. I have never had this in my life, and I don't know why exactly. Next person says, my functional doctor said it could be linked to a change in the gut microbiome. Oral health is an extension of that. We did a GI map, and I was missing a bunch of keystone species. I had a dramatic turn in oral health, so much so that I've decided to crown them all in an effort to protect the ones that are okay and correct issues with the ones that are not, which is about half of, if I'm being honest.
That's a lot of work. Wow.
Yeah. Next one, yep, 1,000%, and I thought it was just me. Another one, after never having a cavity in 57 years, I've had to have three teeth pulled since being vaccinated with Moderna. Next one, same with me. It's had a bacterial infection in my jawbone through a decay under the crown. All my teeth were in agony, and I thought it was just me. And another one, I've definitely had teeth issues, and my enamel is receding on some of my teeth. One tooth is sensitive with slightly exposed dentin. They are also more opaque on edges of top bottom teeth. They were graying for a while. I was long hauling and vax injured prior for a year, and the teeth issue started after a couple weeks of the second COVID infection in February 2023. I'm diligent on brushing twice daily and flossing every night before bed. I switched mouthwash to Biotene, sometimes sleep with xylitol drops because of dry mouth from time to time. I use Sensodyne toothpaste now and also red light therapy mouthpiece two to three times a week. Also oil pulling with coconut oil and a couple drops of oregano extract. I did this more frequently, but probably now just one to twice a month. And someone else chimes in, is it osteopenia? Well, there's a reason why this is happening, and it's the health of the teeth is tightly correlated to iron status, because iron is needed for the proper mineralization of the tooth and the enamel, and then also for the hemoglobin to supply the oxygen to the tooth to make sure it's vital. And this virus and certainly the vaccine is, as we've talked many times now, is known to dysregulate iron homeostasis so that you do become anemic, but it's because your body is withholding the iron and you can't make sufficient heme. So a lot of these processes in the body that is dependent upon heme, not just hemoglobin, but a lot of these enzymes that catalyze the mineralization of, well, the teeth for one and bones are dependent upon iron. And it's really the inflammation that is driving all this, especially IL-6, interleukin-6, which is a inflammatory cytokine that when it's high, it'll just burn up your bones.
So the calcium factor is big. It's involved with heme and iron. And the calcium
mineralization, there are enzymes required that involve iron needed for mineralization, proper mineralization of teeth and bones. Mm-hmm. And I would add to that also, you know, the ligaments, tendons, ligaments, and a lot of these people are now having these issues with, well, they call it Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, where they become hyperflexible. Mm-hmm. But their connective tissue is not normal.
Hmm. Well, as we've said, it has so many different ways, this bioweapon, of destroying health and life. It just dozens of different
Well,
pathways.
This heme thing, as I've said, is a big deal because the blood is being destroyed, the iron is going into storage form, and your body is unable to complete the heme building process. And there are at least 9 different heme proteins that the body needs to manage oxygen. And if you can't build heme...
All are involved with the management of oxygen, all 9?
Yeah. I mean, that's how the body fixes oxygen.
Uh-huh. Well.
It's involved in making energy. You need mm-hmm. this heme for detoxification in the cytochrome P450 enzymes in the liver. That's how you detoxify. And when you don't have it, life gets very difficult. Let's put it that way.
Indeed. Okay, well, we hope that information was helpful to you. And we'll talk again on Monday as we continue to watch, as many of you are watching, the end of life for a lot of people, at least the end of life as it used to be known to them. Their lives are ruined. They'll never recover. And sadly, there's a theme to all this, it's just people do not go back to the way they were. I'll keep it simple.
Mm.
They're damaged.
There's a lot of shattered lives now.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Talk soon. Thank you, as always.
Thanks, Jeff.
All righty.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
All right, and we'll be right back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.